The question was asked, what is the main spiritual essence of Rosh Hashanah, and how can one really celebrate Rosh Hashanah in the most correct and beneficial spiritual fashion? So let's begin with a few historical facts, and then we'll work our way to through the Torah to our time. Historically, man was created on Rosh Hashanah. The creation of the world preceded Rosh Hashanah, but man was created on Rosh Hashanah. Hayom harat olam, what we say in the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, today was the birth of the world. What we mean to say is today was the birth of the essence of the world, mankind. And the Midrashim tell us that from our perspective, our responsibility is that on Rosh Hashanah specifically, but also throughout our life, our perspective on creation is that God wants us to serve Him. Now, it's true that philosophically this is a problematic concept, but bottom line, this is the tradition we have, that this is what God wants of us. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to recognize that He's running the world. The Midrash also tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, Adam HaRishon was judged. It says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that Adam sinned. We know that it says in the Gemara and in Avos Rabbi Nosson and in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It says in many places an enumeration of the hours of the first day of Adam's life. And the Midrash goes through when on that first day Adam sinned, having eaten from the forbidden fruit, and then God judged him, and there were certain spiritual creations that came to speak on Adam's behalf. Shabbos spoke on Adam's behalf, etc. And God said, okay, I won't kill you now. You're going to come out of this day alive. You're going to come free out of court. And this is a sign for your offsprings for generations to come, that they too will be judged by me on this day, the inauguration of God's kingship, so to speak, because God was king before the world. We say it in Adon Olam. Adon Olam, master of the world, Asher Malach, that was king, b'terem kol yitzir nivra, before any creation was created, God was king. But there is an aspect where God's kingship took on a new turn when there was mankind who recognizes God's kingship. However, we are to understand that, but that's the way it's presented to us, that there is an aspect of kingship that's new with our creation, with humanity's creation. And God said, just as I judged Adam on this day, Adam HaRishon, and he came out before me just, so to speak. He came out alive. He came out free. So too I will judge his offsprings and try to judge them favorably on this day. We had said that Rosh Hashanah was the day of creation of man, the day that man was judged, the day that man came out, so to speak, righteous, came out alive from the court case. And God said, corresponding to that, in future generations, your children will be judged on this day. So on Rosh Hashanah is a time when all of humanity is being judged. God takes this day and says, I will make a global judgment for the world, for every nation, for every individual, and I will judge them. Now, could be we all get judged every day. We get judged every minute on a certain level. But there are more major aspects of judgment which happen on Rosh Hashanah.
Isn't it everything, though, not just humans?
Well, everything that pertains to humans in some way is being judged on Rosh Hashanah, but that's a complicated question. But let's first work a little bit more at answering this question, and then we'll see what other questions there are. So Rosh Hashanah, firstly, from the time of creation, is the anniversary, so to speak, of God's inauguration as our king, king of the world. And on Rosh Hashanah, our job in davening is really to declare Hashem your king over the world. The only problem with what I'm saying now is that when you look at the Torah and the Torah discusses Rosh Hashanah, the Torah doesn't say anything about judgment. The Torah says you bring a sacrifice, it's a day of Yom Tov, you blow shofar, and we derive from the Torah that the prayer should incorporate malchuyot, zichonot, and shofarot, but it doesn't overtly say this concept. So the Ramban has a long, long, long speech, the speech for Rosh Hashanah, And one of the points that he raises in that speech is this question. Hey, it doesn't overtly say it in the Torah. So we have it on tradition. We have on tradition that this is when creation was. There's more analyze about the answer to this, about how the world was created and how our calendar works, and that really this is the beginning of the year, etc. But in general, for now we'll leave it at that. So this is the time of judgment for the year. And on Rosh Hashanah, we are not making any requests. We're supposed to prepare. We start 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, we start preparation with Slichot. The person is supposed to take time out of each day in the month to think over what he did all year. And a person is supposed to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah itself, our focus is not us. Our focus is not, please make it a good year for me. Make it a good year for humanity. Our focus is God. We accept that you are running the world. Now, there is a seeming contradiction in the world. When we look at the world, God created the world in a way in which we have bchira chofshit. We have free choice. And part of bchira chofshit is that when a person sins, you don't see overtly that he's getting punished. What you see is, if a guy opens a store on Shabbos, he makes more money. I close my store on Shabbos, I don't make that money. So the world seems to reflect a world that's left to the course of nature. A world where survival of the fittest is the rule of the world. And on the one hand, in the Torah we are taught that that's not the way the world works. What are we saying on Rosh Hashanah? Hashem judges the world. Hashem decides who's going to get what in this world. Yet when we look at the world, overtly the world seems to be running based on survival of the fittest. Right by might. The guy who's strongest, he is the one who's considered the most right. So what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is we're saying, Ribon Shom, we're recognizing you run the world. Even though throughout the year there are difficulties, we say ki yad al keska, there is still that hand over God's throne, so to speak. There is still the evil that seems to have power in the world and to succeed in the world. But on Rosh Hashanah we declare Hashem Melech, Hashem is king, he's running the world. We're not dealing with the other aspects, we're focusing on one point. We recognize that you are running the show, you are the king, and we're happy you're the king, and we are longing for that period where the world will recognize that you are king. V'yeta yukol, all will come le'ovdecha, to serve you. That's the point in our tefillah where we say, God, we're waiting for a time where everyone will recognize it. And if you look, this breakdown of malchuyot, recognizing God as king, zichonot is an illusion. God, our remembrance should come before you for good. And shofarot, which is a reference to the shofar blast, which can be understood as a reference to the future shofar blast, the future when everyone will recognize God is running the world. That breakdown we know is the breakdown of Musaf, but the Avodah Zarah says that that breakdown is also, we have a miniature form of that breakdown in the introduction to the prayer, Uvechen. Ten pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu akol maasecha. Hashem, please make all of your creations be in awe of you, in fear of you. All creations will fear you. At the same time that we're recognizing God as king, we're also longing for the time when God's kingship is recognized by all. There is an aspect where the shofar blast is like blowing trumpets before a king or accepting God as king. That's one aspect of the shofar blast. There is an aspect where the shofar blast is also a prayer, a wailing. We say we blow tuot, are translated as yibavot, as wailings, and that's the cleanest form of prayer before Hashem. We don't say a word. The shofar is wailing our cry before Hashem. But the spiritualistic theme of Rosh Hashanah, we recognize we're being judged, and ordinarily when people are being judged, they're scared, they're trembling. They try to think, how am I going to get out of this? And the Medrash says that when we are judged, so it's as though we're coming before a father to be judged. You come to be judged, and suddenly you see the judge is your next door neighbor, it's your good friend, you go bowling with him every Saturday night, so you're okay. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah in preparation, we shower, we shave, we go to mikveh, we wear our beautiful clothing, we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're king, Baruch Hashem, you're running the world. So we're accepting the fact that Hashem is running the world, we're declaring, it's a state of declaration that Hashem is king, and in the back of our minds we know that right now He's acting as king, He's judging us. We're not praying about that, that's not the focus of Rosh Hashanah. That will be Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, that will be Yom Kippur. What we are focused on Rosh Hashanah is Hashem, we are inaugurating you, so to speak, as our king. And that's the focus. You will find no request in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. We don't ask for anything. We ask that God's kingship will be recognized by all of humanity. That there will be a time where everyone will see how God is running the show, and God will give payback to those who are wicked for that which they've done wrong, etc. But we're not asking anything personal. So that's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Now, what are we supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah? So our sages instituted that we do signs. That we know that before things happen in this world, there's a heavenly decree that declares something should happen, and then it trickles down as a thought to someone, and then it evolves into speech, and from speech it evolves into action, and from action it evolves into happening. So let's say Hashem declares that the king at the end of Elisha's life should defeat Aram. So Elisha is given the prophecy. Elisha tells over the prophecy. Elisha tells the king, take an arrow, a bow and arrow, shoot it towards Aram. That arrow doesn't do anything to anyone. But you're shooting the arrow towards Aram, that's going to bring down an action that starts the prophecy for that starts its happening. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told, there will be water, go and speak to the rock. What do you need to speak to the rock? You're bringing it one step down from the decree in heaven, to the prophecy to Moshe, to the speech, that's one step down. Hitting the rock, that's an action. That's beyond speech. That's two steps down. Yeah? Okay. When we do a siman, what we're doing is we're trying to do an action that is the closest to it's actually happening. The last stage before something happening is there's some sign that it will happen in this world. There is the decree in heaven, the thought or prophecy, the speech, and then an action, and then the actual happening. What do you mean?
The motion of the field, Hashem is a melech.
What do you mean?
It's better to make what your mitzvah, to understand that Hashem is a melech, in all levels of our human being. So, motion of Fah, I think, is also very important.
Oh, so the Rambam says, how do we come to recognize that Hashem is running the world? So if we stop and think about the galaxies and the creation and science, and we think about creation, think about the world, think about how many continents are being judged now. Think about what's happening in Darfur. Think about what's happening in the United States. You know, we have a big year coming before us. There's going to be a new president of the United States. Who knows what's going to happen there? Who knows what's going to happen in Africa? Who knows what's going to happen in Russia, in China, in Iran, in North Korea? You start thinking about how many millions of people are being judged in this minute. And for Hashem, it's important, little old me. I'm standing and Hashem looks at me and says, my son, welcome, I've been waiting for you. He's interested in me. There's a whole world out there, but He's interested in me. So on the one hand, we're supposed to have awe, look at everything Hashem created. On the other hand, we're coming as children. I'm not coming before a stranger. I'm coming before the one who loves me more than anyone else. So both aspects. But the Rambam says the way that one can affect oneself to be in awe is by looking at science, looking at the stars, looking at what's going on around us. So on Rosh Hashanah we do these signs. It's very important not to get angry on Rosh Hashanah. It's important to try and do mitzvot on Rosh Hashanah. It's like a guy who's coming before the judge for alcoholism, says you drove drunk, and the guy says, give me a second, let me grab another whiskey, just another cup of beer, we'll talk. That's one way you come before the judge. Another way is you come, you're clean shaven, you're sober, you're fine. So when we come on Rosh Hashanah, we try to perform mitzvot on Rosh Hashanah as well. We do the signs, but that's not the main point of Rosh Hashanah. The main point is the tefillot, hearing shofar properly, and then being a good person, and a person has to think and try to be a good person on Rosh Hashanah, and that's more than any other day. Every day we're supposed to be a good person. On Rosh Hashanah, all the more so, we're being judged. There is a custom not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah by day, the first day. Second day you could sleep. It's quoted in the Jerusalem Talmud. He who could learn Torah or say Tehillim by day, he could stay awake. The Arizal said afternoon is already okay. There's already not din. Whichever way you want to go, you can go to Arizal. By daytime, the daylight hours, there's a custom not to sleep. Okay, fine.
From the sun, rise.
Oh, so that's a good question. Some Sephardi poskim say that if you stayed in bed after Alos, then don't worry, you've already slept during the daylight hours, you don't have to worry about it. But that doesn't seem to be the accepted custom. It seems that what's more accepted is to go with the Arizal, that in the afternoon you could sleep. But not to sleep in the morning hours. Once you get up, you don't go back to sleep. But that's only if you're going to do mitzvot during those hours. If you're going to sit around and joke with the guys or say lashon hara or look at improper things, better go to sleep. Sleep, you're much better off. You'll have more strength to pray well the next night. You'll have more strength to learn the next day or that day. That's better. But if you could, so it's good to learn, set up a chavruta, say some tehillim. That's a good thing to do on Rosh Hashanah. But a person should also try to think what it means. Hashem is king. On this point, Daniel, you wanted something? On this point?
No.
Yosef? No. Someone else wanted something on this point?